And I want to invite you to turn to Psalm 107 as we read the first 22 verses. Psalm 107, verses 1 through 22 in the Pew Bibles on page 526. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the sons of men. For he satisfies him who is thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in gloom, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Their hearts were bowed down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and gloom and broke their bonds asunder. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the sons of men. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were sick through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the sons of men, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. You may notice that there's a question mark in the bulletin after the words of the title of this reflection. Give thanks? Question mark. You know, sometimes it's very difficult for us to give thanks in hard times, when sickness, when disaster, or sometimes just when the blahs hit us. It becomes difficult sometimes to give thanks. It's especially difficult in crisis situations, is it not? And yet, that is what this psalm discusses. How often, though, do we say thank you, not just to God, but to others as well? And we did not collaborate this morning on the thank yous. These seem to be two of the hardest words or most forgotten words in our world. Others that are hard to say include, I'm sorry, and I forgive you. Today I want us to think about Thanksgiving. But not just the holiday that is approaching. I want us to think about reasons that we have to be thankful within our own lives. In fact, the place to begin is probably with our own existence alone. But not alone as by ourselves, but the fact that we even exist at all. The fact that we have life at all is something for which we need to be thankful. Among other reasons that we need to be thankful include the fact that God continues to walk with us, not just in the good times, not just in the crises, but even on those mornings where instead of, as I've said before, instead of waking up and saying, good morning, Lord, we say, good Lord, it's morning. And don't want to get up. But God is there providing for us even in those moments of life. We have other reasons to be thankful. God's presence through Christ and through this body of Christ, the church. You know, God deserves our praise. God deserves our thanks as well. But oftentimes, we keep our gratitude even from God. Now, we might say a quick blessing at the meal and then move right along. But that's what we do. We say the quick little short hit and then move right along, rather than sitting and contemplating that for which we are thankful and the need to offer that to God. You know, one of the earliest memories that I have is not, my mother says I did, I don't remember it, we lived in an apartment and I was 2 years old and she heard a crash and ran to the door and I had ridden my tricycle down two flights of stairs to the ground. Maybe that's what's wrong. She looked at me and said, "Are you okay?" And I simply looked up and said, "Mommy, I fall down." And then I tried to bring the tricycle back up the steps. But I don't remember that one. But one of the earliest memories I have of Thanksgiving is at my grandparents' home and at church. My mother used to decorate the altar table with a harvest arrangement which consisted of a horn of plenty and then even more than if you went to the Beacon and got a chili cheeseburger plate of plenty. I mean, there wasn't enough room, really, on the table for everything that she placed there. And we're not talking about the artificial things either. She bought real vegetables and real fruit and real nuts of all kinds and placed them on that table. I remember gourds of all kinds as well that she would go sometimes and buy, and sometimes she would go out into the country where my grandfather grew up and go out to the family farm, the family that was still out there, our family, and get gourds that they had growing. Creating that time, she would spend several hours, and then as the 3 weeks prior to Thanksgiving and up through Thanksgiving continued, she'd come in every Sunday morning with more vegetables, and anything that was going bad, she'd pull it out and replace it. And on she would go. So I remember those things, oftentimes being present when it happened. I remember those times at my grandparents, the Thanksgiving meals, with turkey and dressing and all of the trappings, including pumpkin pie and persimmon pudding. One of the best desserts you could ever eat. We were also in church every time the doors were opened. And Thanksgiving was a special time, both on the Sunday before and then later on Thanksgiving Day. I learned at an early age the importance of giving thanks, although I don't do it enough. Thanks not just to God, but thanks to others as well. And so we need to remember, as the psalmist reminds us, that throughout life, we need to pause and to give thanks to God and to give thanks to others. And we need to teach our children the same kinds of things. That God has loved and cared for people, and God loves and cares for them, and that God should receive first and foremost the thanks. When people of faith face personal loss, and when the psalmist writes about the people of God who had faced loss, imprisonment, exile, sickness, they turned to God, crying out to God for help, and when God gave it to them, the psalmist says, "Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love and the wonderful works." The wonderful works. By remembering and teaching part of God's redemptive story, Old Testament and New Testament, and then continuing in our own lives as we teach these things, we can be prepared and we can help prepare others for stressful and desperate times to find reasons to give thanks in those times so that we might be able to move through those times as well. Here in the Old Testament, we could go to many places. But here, Psalm 107, verses 1 through 22, actually the whole psalm does, but I wanted to stop at 22, is a reminder of the things that we need to rediscover about thanksgiving. And first and foremost is the idea of giving thanks to God and then thanks to others and singing those praises. Now, Psalm 107 is an exhortation that draws us to think about God's unfailing love. God's unfailing love in being with us in time of need. God's unfailing love in hearing our prayers and hearing our thanks. As one writer says, it is a well-constructed and strikingly original and beautiful litany of thanksgiving. It was meant to be used at one of Israel's annual festivals. It probably was composed after the Babylonian exile was over. The people are led by a worship leader in celebrating God's mercy, God's unfailing benevolence to those who cry to Him in crises in life. To make more of an impression for the importance of recalling God's deeds for the people and the need to say thank you, the psalm was probably used in an antiphonal fashion, with an introduction and a conclusion, with stanzas read back and forth by the leader and responses of thanksgiving by the people. End of quote. It was used when thanksgiving sacrifices were given. And this whole, sometimes I really wish, have you ever been in an antiphonal service? And by that we mean one side says or sings something and then the other side responds. It's very wonderful and it's very moving. And you have to pay attention. You have to pay attention. You have to concentrate on what is taking place, what is being said, and what you are responding. Sometimes I wish we would do more of those kinds of things so that we could think through and pay more attention, because it familiarizes us not only with God's goodness, but it familiarizes us with the truths that we need to learn. Verse 1 is a typical call to praise, but it's also a reminder to give praise is to give thanks. To give praise to God is to give thanks. To say thank you in all God's goodness, in His steadfast love. When it says, let the redeemed, literally the word means those who are delivered. The redeemed are those who are delivered. And throughout the psalm, we have several places. The redeemed who are delivered from exile, the redeemed who are delivered from prison, the redeemed who are delivered from disease, the redeemed who are delivered from hunger. All of those things that God does for us, but also, if we are open, that God can do through us for others. People were lost in a trackless desert. Well, while in verses 4 and following, while that trackless desert does mean physical wilderness, I think it also has another meaning. How often do our lives feel like we're lost somewhere? Emotionally, spiritually, we feel like we're in a wilderness. Sometimes that we're in a wasteland. And it's at those times that maybe we wonder, as we look around, what's going to go wrong next? It is in those times that he says the people paused and called upon God and remembered His presence. They cried to the Lord in their trouble and He delivered them, which means literally He led them in an upright way. And what was their response? Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, His wonderful works to the sons of men. This call runs throughout the psalm. A call to remember that we don't just accept things from God and then run off. We expect things from God, do we not? We oftentimes expect His grace and His mercy. But how often will we continue to receive it if we do not recognize and thank Him? And that's part of what the psalmist is trying to get at as well. When God delivers us, when we find ourselves in distress, we should thank Him. It's a song in Godspell, All Good Gifts. And the chorus goes, all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank the Lord for all His love. And then it breaks into, I really want to thank the Lord. This kind of thanksgiving draws us closer, not only to God, but closer to others as we have opportunity to prove our thanks to God by helping them. In sickness or in health, we speak those words at weddings, do we not? But God is with us in sickness. God is with us in health, even when we bring those times upon ourselves. God responds to our cries. So we are called not only to say thank you, but verse 22 says to offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and to tell God's wondrous deeds to others. And so as we come to this time of remembrance and this time of thanksgiving, perhaps this year is a difficult one. Perhaps, as was said earlier, there are folks missing from the family and the home for the first time. The difficult thing would be to give thanks. The typical human reaction is to wonder why. But in the midst of that, we should give thanks to God for the care, for the presence, and for caring for that one that is missing. Perhaps it's a time where there is uncertainty about jobs. There's uncertainty about health. The call is for us to look to God, to cry for help, but then to be ready to move forward with His leading. And the call comes in each and every life and in each and every day to say thank you to the Lord and to teach it in the congregation of the people and to teach it in our families, in our neighborhoods. Most folks will come to Thanksgiving Day. They'll make their journeys. They'll eat a bunch of food. They'll watch the Thanksgiving parade. They'll watch the football game. They might take a nap and then come back and eat some more. And far too often, there's very little thanks to God. So may we this Thanksgiving rediscover, not Thanksgiving Day, but rediscover thanksgiving with an open and sincere heart, with a spirit that looks for and remembers the gifts of God, those gifts that are from above and those gifts that are around us. And may we be found saying to God and to others those difficult and often overlooked words. Thank you. Give thanks? I hope so. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, help us. Help us to be more aware of the things for which we need to be thankful. But Lord, also help us to be more aware of the opportunities we have to show that thanksgiving to those around us who perhaps are in need, in great need of a kind word, of a kind action, or perhaps even of a thanks. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is hymn number 516, Redeemed. As we stand and as we sing, our altar is open. Hymn number 516, Redeemed.